Hello and welcome. It's good to be with you today, especially today after celebrating our Lord's resurrection yesterday. And I trust that you had a great time of worshiping our Lord, celebrating His resurrection and the wonderful place we have in Him as being forgiven and cleansed and adopted and reconciled unto God. And the Lord has given us a beautiful day today. It was raining earlier, but it's cleared off and it's just simply beautiful out here today. And I hope that you're having a good day, that you've already heard from the Lord, that you're growing in your walk with Him, that you're looking forward to this time of hearing from Him. I know that I am. I always enjoy these times, and I trust that they are a blessing to you and that they help you and encourage you in your walk with the Lord. I want to thank Nikki and Jonathan again for all that they do to make these times possible. And more than anyone, though, we want to thank our Lord for His eternal love for us, the salvation He has given us through His Son, and the fact that He desires for us to know Him. He's brought us into Himself, and He speaks to us. And as we open His Word in a moment, we need His guidance, we need His interpretation, His understanding. We need to hear from Him. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day. Lord, for Your love for us. Father, Your grace. Father, Your salvation. Father, I'm so thankful for what we celebrated, remembered yesterday. Father, the resurrection of Your Son after He died upon the cross for our sins. Father, thank You for Your eternal love for us that not only conceived such a plan but followed through on it. And Father, by Your love and by Your mercy and grace, Father, You bring us to that salvation. Father, thank You that You desire for us to know You. Lord, You've given us Your Word and Your Spirit to interpret Your Word. And Father, You desire to speak to each of us through it today. Father, open our minds and our hearts. Give us understanding, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, one of the characteristics of these days in which we live is the absolute open defiance and rebellion against God, against His Word, against His ways, against His commands. You and I, we live in a time where clearly anything that God has clarified or God has classified as good or beautiful is now being hated and reviled. And anything that God has in fact warned against or forbidden is glorified, is in fact exalted. And we look at such things taking place and we're constantly bombarded with it. And we wonder, how should we respond? We look around and we see, obviously, so much of this world system is operating this way, thinking this way, and is, in fact, at war against us who want to walk with the Lord, but more importantly, at war against Him. We're simply in the way. And we wonder how we should live in these times. Frankly, we wonder how we should pray in these times. And we'll get some ideas. We open God's Word to Psalm 83. The psalm is written by Asaph, and he looks around and he sees a large, powerful military alliance aligning itself against God's people, but ultimately against God Himself. Now, we're not sure of the exact historical context. Obviously, it's prophetic in the sense of looking to the time there in the tribulation, when there will in fact be the lead up to the Battle of Armageddon. And yet, you know, we don't know the historical context, but even now, we can in fact see that the spirit of that, the mindset of that, in this hostility that we experience against God and against His Word and against us if we seek to walk with the Lord. Well, how do we pray in such situations? How can we pray right now in our nation when we see so much of our country is given over to this? Well, as we begin working our way through Psalm 83, we see the first thing that we need to pray for is God's intervention. And by that I mean that God Himself would personally intervene. Not just strengthen us, though we need that, not just guide us, though we need that, but that God Himself would in fact intervene. Think about what we read in verses 1 through 8. O God, do not remain quiet. Do not be silent. And O God, do not be still. For behold, your enemies make an uproar. And those who hate you have exalted themselves. They make shrewd plans against your people and conspire together against your treasured ones. They have said, come and let us wipe them out as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. For they have conspired together with one mind. Against you they make a covenant. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagarites, Gebal and Ammon, and Amalek, Philistia and the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria also has joined with them. They have become a help to the children of Lot, Selah. You look around, you see a very large alliance there, not just in terms of the number of nations, but the population, the military power that they possess, the desires that they have, the plans that they have. Asaph looks around, Israel looks around, and they say, you know, there's no way we can handle this. Oh God, we need you to intervene. We need you to work. We need you to deliver. And as we look at this world that we live in, and we see all these things where, again, everything that God has said is good and decent and beautiful is now being hated and vilified, and everything that God has warned and commanded against is in fact accepted, exalted, and glorified, we need to remember that we need God to intervene, because the battle is His and these forces are too great for us. The forces that we see in this world, and obviously the one who's behind this world system, that is Satan. You think about what we read in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. There's no way that we can defeat that on our own. And yes, we need God's strength, but we need more than merely Him strengthening us. We need His guidance. We need more than merely Him giving us guidance. We need Him to intervene with His strength, and for Him to lead in His perfect guidance. We need God Himself. We need to pray for God's intervention. We also need to pray for God's victory, that not only would God intervene, but that God Himself would win the victory, that He would do it in a way that clearly reveals that it's of Him. How we need to see this in our walk and in our life, because otherwise we'd be tempted to think that we had done it on our own strength. Think about what we read in verses 9 through 12. Deal with them as with Midian, as with Sisera and Jabin at the torrent of Kishon, who were destroyed at Endor, who became as dung for the ground. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeb, and all their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna, who have said, let us possess for ourselves the pastures of God. Looking back at events in the book of Judges, and you recall what took place in the book of Judges, a continual downhill spiral, a spin like in an airplane, if you will. We're going through the book of Judges on Sunday night in our fellowship. And what we've seen is that there's this continuous cycle, but it's not just a cycle, it's continuously going down. Where at the top of the cycle, Israel would be walking with the Lord, be blessed by Him. They would in fact begin to grow cold. As they grew cold, they would begin to adopt the practices of the nations around them. They would in fact go into idolatry. God would in fact then, because of their idolatry and their sinful rebellion against Him, begin to afflict them. He would give them over to some group there that would oppress them. Finally, it would click and get their attention, and they would cry out to God. God would, in fact, send a deliverer who would not only deal with them and causing them to deal with their sins, but give them deliverance. They would once more be at the point of blessing, and Judges just keeps going around that cycle, except, again, it's not really a cycle. It's more like an airplane in a spin, and yes, they would break, they would recover from the spin and level off. Never did really regain their altitude, and then very soon again they'd go back into the spin. And so this is looking back at those episodes. And yet in each of those episodes, God worked in a way, once they cried out to Him, that made it clear, that it was made it obvious that it was God who won the victory. You think about the victory over Midian that's described there in the very first part of verse 9. Of course, that involves Gideon, and you recall what took place. Gideon raised up an army, or an army responded. God sifted that army down to just 300. Why? Doesn't make any sense on paper. God wanted Israel to know that He Himself won the victory. That they were up against forces too large, too numerous, too advanced, too capable for them to handle. God wanted them to know that He won the victory. Then you think of the hatred of their enemies, as is expressed in verse 12. Let us possess for ourselves the pastures of God. There's no way Israel could have broken out of any one of those situations you read in the book of Judges. God Himself had to win the victory. The enemy we face is simply too great. We cannot win. But God can, and God will. And we need to seek Him, trust Him, cling to Him. We need to pray for God's victory, His wonderful, miraculous victory, just like you read about in the book of Judges. And as we look at these times, I hope we are approaching the point where we begin to realize there is no way that we can stop these forces in our nation today. There is no way that we can reclaim what is lost. There is no way that we can hold the line. That is merely not another election cycle or, you know, this group, this party, this person. Only God can save us. And as bad as things are getting, I hope that they're getting to the point that we'll finally call out to God, recognizing that He alone can deliver, and that we begin praying for His victory. But you know, we pray for God's victory. We also need to pray for God's witness. That yes, not only God would win the victory, not just to make things easy for us, but that God would make it unmistakably clear that He is real, that He is God, that He exists, that He rules, He reigns. You think about what we see in verses 13 through 16, as Asaph here prays for God's witness, not just for God's own people, but even for God's enemies. You think about what we read in verse 13 through the very first part of verse 16. Oh my God, make them like whirling dust, like chaff before the wind, like fire that burns in the forest, like a flame that sets the mountains on fire. So pursue them with your tempest and terrify them with your storm. Fill their faces with dishonor. We read over that and we think, how harsh, how severe, how cruel. How could Asaph pray such things? How could the Holy Spirit of God inspire such things to be prayed and to be recorded? Think about what we read in the last part of verse 16. That they may seek your name, O Lord. Think with me, why are they doing these things to Israel? Because they have rejected every other witness. They have rebelled against everything that God has said. They have attacked God's people, thinking that that would somehow be an attack upon God Himself. And in a way it is, but it's not like it can un-God God. And Asaph here is praying, oh God, make it crystal clear to them that you're God. There's been no other option left. Let them know that you are God so that they might believe. Again, you think about these evil times in which we live in, where warning after warning has been given, pleading after pleading has been issued. You wonder, is there anything left? But for God's miraculous, powerful right hand to reveal Himself as God, yes, for we who know Him to be able to trust Him in a greater measure, but even for His enemies to know who He is. Pray for God's justice to prevail so that even the transgressors would recognize Him as God and turn to Him. Pray for God's witness. But then coupled very closely to that one is the fact that we need to pray for God's glory. Look at verse 17. Let them be ashamed and dismayed forever, and let them be humiliated and perish. And we think, well, here we go again, another one of those harsh prayers. But again, look at the reason why. Verse 18. That they may know that you alone, whose name is the Lord, are the most high over all the earth. In other words, God, glorify your name even before your enemies. Again, with the hope that they would turn to you. You know, the goal of everything, the goal of God creating everything was the glory of His own name. And we need to pray as we see the evil and the wickedness in our nation, that God would not only deal with that, not only deliver us from that just to make life easy for us, but for God's name, in fact, to be glorified, for God to be seen as almighty and sovereign and righteous and holy and perfect, for God to be seen as God. Again, the purpose of everything is to give glory unto God. One way or another, it will. We need to pray that God's glory would be seen at this time in our nation. Yes, so even those transgressors might be converted and give glory unto God, but certainly for His people to see Him as God. We need to pray for God's glory. Asaph, like us, he looked around and he was deeply troubled by what he saw. So many enemies against God's people with tremendous plans, strategies, and the power, it seemingly, to pull them off. Certainly the power of Satan behind them. How similar to us. But Asaph prayed for God's intervention and God's victory and God's witness and God's glory. How we need to do the same. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Father, You are the living God. And help us to remember that when we see everything taking place around us. And, O Lord God, at this time in our nation, we need You to intervene. We need Your victory. O God, certainly we need Your help, but, O God, we need more than Your help. O God, we need You. O God, move, Father, in a way that reveals Your name and glorifies Your name. O Lord God, deliver us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope as you go through this day that you walk with the Lord, that you experience His nearness, His power, His love, His glory. We have a wonderful God, and I hope that you walk with Him throughout this day.